bring you greetings too in the name of Jesus, our Savior. I was impressed with the service thus far and the number of thoughts. The first song we sung was Give to Our God Immortal Praise. And I trust that we do that all the time, give to our God immortal praise. And I was challenged this week as I thought about the 17 people in Haiti that were taken captive. That was an interruption to their life. But what would we do with that if that was us? Would you go in a corner and just sit and wait to see what happens? Or would you try to share with them the love of God? You know, there could be a tremendous outcome of this thing. I mean, there's no limit to what God can do. And I just pray that he will have glory and praise out of them. All of it, whatever can come out of it for his glory and for his good. And then my dean had devotions and was speaking about John's praying for him. I told my wife, I think yesterday, and I said, well, I won't get a message from John this morning. He usually sent one when I preached. But there's nothing sad necessarily about that, because God never forgets anything. And I believe the prayers that my father and mother prayed for their family are still in the mind of God, and he's still working with those and trying to help people. The prayers of the saints continue to rise, and they are in his book, and he remembers them. And continues to bring them. He thinks about those again. He thinks about John's prayers. He thinks about our prayers when we pray. Even though we continually pray, I think our prayers probably stack up. And God keeps a record of them all. And we have a way to rejoice in the Lord and do great things for the Holy Father. And to love and to serve him with all our heart. This morning, if you have Jesus, you have everything. If you have Jesus, you have everything. What more could you want? He will supply all our needs. He will never let us down. And I think this morning, the message that I have is very precious to me, and I think it should be precious to us. That's why the songs this morning, the first two songs, both of them were very touching to the message. You know, there's one thing that God will not give up. If you can use some of your money for your own carnal purposes, that can be forgiven. But if you refuse to give him the praise and the glory that is worthy of, that's a sad case. When we do not worship him in spirit and in truth, when we come before him whom he is, God is so great. And so powerful and so kind and so tender and merciful. I was impressed with the last while with, you know, what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says. But the thing that struck me was the very first phrase. Now we would present our bodies a living sacrifice by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. It's a privilege for us to do that. And God's mercies are new every morning. And they're always there. This morning I'd like to look at four psalms, short psalms. And the first two have to do with the Lord. The Lord power and dominion and the majesty of the Lord. Then the last two, the third one is a call to praise the Lord. And the last one is a call to worship the Lord. And you can turn to Psalms 97. Be the first one is the Lord's power. And this morning, the Lord's power is unlimited. There's no regulating to it. He is all powerful this morning. And the first two Psalms, 97 and 93, starts out, "The Lord reigneth." And I thought about preaching on the millennial reign this morning, but that's only 1,000 years. The Lord reigneth. He's been reigning since he created the world. He's still reigning today, and he will always reign. There's nothing in this world that is ever out of God's control. We have people that seem to want to follow the devil and do the wicked stuff and all kinds of sin, and they rebel against God. They become like a limb of Satan. But God is still reigning. He still has everything under control. Let's read the psalm and then we'll. "The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of the isles be glad thereof. Clouds, darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. A fire goeth before him and burneth up the enemies round about. His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because thy judgments, O Lord. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted above all gods. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." There is just a lot of things in each one of these little psalms. And I'll need to go over them quickly to get over all four of them because they're so tremendous. But the hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord. The children of Israel at Mount Sinai, when darkness came down upon the mount and fire and thunder and lightning, and the trump of the Lord just kept saying louder and louder and louder. And I believe the earth melted and trembled at God's presence. So much so that they said, "We don't want to hear God talk to us anymore. You tell us, Moses, what you want done. What God tells you, and we'll do it." That's God's power. It talks about darkness round about him. I believe the darkness is on the mount. The earth trembleth. Now, Hebrews says in chapter 12 that again he shaketh not only the earth, but the heavens also. There's a time coming when the heaven and earth is going to shake. I'm not sure what's going to happen then, but it's going to shake. And people are going to tremble. And maybe the time when they call for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, I don't know. But the earth, the heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Last Monday, I went on a service call. back at Cheesetown. And just as I turned on the Kiefer Road to go down over the hill where I was going, I seen straight ahead just part of a rainbow. It was clouds and then it was clear sky, and it was just a beautiful rainbow. And as I got down on the farther, I seen another part of a rainbow over here. And my heart just swelled in praises, because it was the closest I've ever been to a rainbow. I mean, the closest I ever been to a rainbow, because it couldn't have been more than a mile and a half by the way the bird flies to the mountain. And that rainbow come down on this side of the mountain. I don't know how far away from the mountain it was, but it was so big and so bright. And my heart just sleep with praise and thank God for his covenant. Normally you can't even get close to a rainbow. If you try to chase one down and get to the bottom of it, you'll never get there. By the time you get there, it'll be gone. But I don't think if I would have followed that rainbow, it would have probably disappeared before I ever got there. But it was very close, and praise God for his promises. And that God's not going to destroy the earth again with a flood. God is high above all the earth. Thou art exalted above all gods. This is the Lord. His power is unestimable. You cannot even think of how powerful God is. I mean, he can just wipe things out in a moment if he wants to. It's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Either love the Lord, hate evil, and preserve the souls. We need to realize the power of our mighty God. And you know, we stand as mortal beings here in our flesh, in our failings, in our weaknesses, in our sorrows, in our griefs, whatever it is. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visit him and take knowledge of him? What is man? You know, the nations are a drop of a bucket. And here we are, little individuals, serving a great and mighty God. His habitation, the righteous and judgment are the habitation of his throne. God is righteous and he is, judgment is true. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. That is the Lord's power. We cannot even imagine how it is, but when Christ returns to the earth, to take power and authority and to start to reign, his feet will stand on Mount Olives and it'll split right down the middle and just spread apart. You know, it's an awesome thing, the power and the dominion of God. And yet he has called us, poor mortals, to serve him. Turning over to Psalm 93. This is the majesty of the Lord. And this hymn, this psalm, was sung on Friday as a temple song. And it's the majesty of the Lord. And the next day was the Sabbath day. And these people sang these songs. Psalm 23, the Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. The testimonies of the Lord are sure. Holiness become thine house, O Lord, forever. The Lord's majesty. You know, I can't imagine what the image of God, his majesty, his regalness. We know that people in this world try to show off their majesty. The Queen of England usually goes, and when she is seen in royal apparel. And she's one that put on common clothes and went down among the poor people and talked to them as well. But the Lord is clothed with majesty. The beauty of God the Father and the Son on the throne, what beauty and majesty it must be. It's a throne that is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. God is from everlasting. Psalm 90 says that from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. From vanishing point to vanishing point, there is no end. The floods, I believe, speak of nations. The floods lift up. The Lord, the floods have lifted up their voice and lift up their waves. The Lord is mightier than many waters, many nations, yea, than mighty waves of the sea. We think of waters. This summer has been a tremendous time in the climate change people, and they think that because the wildfires in the west and the floods that hit the east coast, that the climate is really changing. No, it's not changing that much. But they just don't recognize God. And all the damage that those wildfires did in the west. Now they have a storm coming in. It's going to let snow in the mountains and rain again. You know, God is in it all. The waves of the sea. You know, the waves, we've probably seen some waves rushing in upon the shores down along the East Coast. Tremendous waves just washing everything out. But the waves of the sea are powerful, and yet the Lord is mightier than those. The Gerald R. Ford aircraft carrier is 1,092 feet long. That's a fifth of a mile, almost. And it's 400 feet wide, over 400 feet. That's over the length of a football field. And more than three times the length of three football fields. It weighs 100,000 tons. That's what it displaces. And on a high sea, when the waves get to 100 feet, it'll toss that thing about like a cork. You talk about power, majesty, the waves of the sea. the waters. God is able. He is majesty. He overrules all things. And everything is done with precision and greatness and power. Just things come to my mind. I remember when the tornado went through Indiana. I'm not sure it was back. Maybe you don't even remember about that. But it went through the West, and it was pretty terrible. And I remember reading the story that the wind, the tornado come along, it lifted up the whole house roof, and it sucked the curtains out between the roof and the wall. And there was a Bible laying on a nightstand. It was never touched. You know, God can do things with his fingers. His majesty is majestic in all he does. Wonderful and marvelous. Thy testimonies are very sure. Thy testimonies are very sure. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. We just had last quarter in our Sunday school lesson. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. I think this is probably speaking of the Lord's house, but I think it speaks of other houses as well. It's the Lord's house. This is the Lord's house. And we are in it. And holiness becometh this house. We have our homes and our houses. And holiness must become those. They must be filled with holiness. And then this body is another house. And God calls us to be holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. One thing that God will never give up. Maybe there's more things. But the praise and the glory that it due is his name, he will never give up. He won't give it up to idols. God's power is not displayed in things. It's displayed in what he does. When the Philistines took the ark from Israel and put it in besides Dagon. To them, it was another god. It was another god. It was just a gold box. And they set it beside Dagon. But they found out that a golden common box, something still happened. And the first night, when they come out after the first night, Dagon was falling on his face before the ark. And they set him back up. The second night, morning they come out, he was fallen on his face, his head was broke off, and his hands were broke off. You know, it didn't take God much to knock that little Dagon over. He had no value, had no purpose, but people would fall down and worship him. No God can stand in the presence of our God. He will not give his glory to another. He just simply will not. We cannot have gods in our hearts. God will not dwell with us if we have a God in our heart. He desires us totally and completely. And when he has that, like the Sunday school lesson, he gives us all we need. And you can give it all back to him, but he'll give you more. It's probably appropriate to talk about John after he's gone, because he don't hear it. But but it'll be a testimony to you. John was a very, very liberal giver. And he died, he had things pretty well in place for his family. And he left plenty of money behind. And that's just a testimony of what a liberal giver. John was not selfish with his money. He put more money in the offering sometimes than the rest of the congregation. It's a tremendous challenge. There'll be a lot of things that we think about, John, for a long time to come. All right, Psalm 95, it's a call to praise the Lord. And this is really what we want. God is great. We know he's great. He is full of majesty. But this is where we come in. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise unto him in psalm. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. I believe the majesty and the power of God demands that we just give up ourselves to God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We ought to come in reverence. We ought to come in honor and magnifying the Lord. We ought to come as people that are ready to worship the Lord. I believe our worship experience should start at least on Saturday. And when we come to worship the Lord, we ought to walk through the doors with the reverence, God on our hearts, ready to worship him with all our heart and soul and mind. It takes a while to rid some of the common things of the everyday life out of our own hearts. Those people in the last part of that psalm were buried in the wilderness because they tempted God, they proved him, they saw his works, but they did not love him, they did not serve him. They continually cried out and murmured and complained. And then when in the promised land, I'm just impressed with the scriptures where God pled for his people to return back to him. He just pled with them to come. And Jeremiah's especially that, Isaiah's more prophecy. But Isaiah was a suffering prophet. He was a prophet that had pled with the people. He told them what God had to say, and they hated him for it. They'd ask him again, and he would tell them what God had to say, and they turned away from it and even put him in prison, put him in a dungeon, in a pit. But in around the 20s in Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, They came to him and said, we want a message from the Lord. What is the message from the Lord, they said? And Jeremiah went, I don't know if I can turn to it or not, because I don't think I can right now. But anyhow, Jeremiah went and told him what the message of the Lord. And he said, God told him, he said, those that are for the sword will have the sword. Those that are captivity will go into captivity. Those that are for fire will be burnt. And those that are to be scattered abroad are scattered. That was God's message to them. He was done with them. He said, I am full of repentance. There was no place for them. And they went into captivity, and they never did get squared away. And finally, God just left them. Even into the New Testament, they were still, there was good people. There was people that honored the Lord and loved him. But to the leaders, God calls them dogs, dumb dogs that cannot bark. They didn't have a message. And there were men that tried to prophesy lies into the children of Israel. And God just wouldn't bow. God just wouldn't give in to the gods that Israel wanted to serve. They would repent, and God would bless them. You get through the book of Judges. They would cry out in pity. They wanted help from God. Deliver us from these Midianites. And God did. For about 40 years, they were back serving gods again. And that's just the way it went through the book of Judges. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. You know, there's nothing we need extra besides our own tongues and our hearts. God wants a broken and a contrite heart, and he will not despise that. And we can come to God and worship him and be blessed in that, in our own personal and private worship. We need to make that as an important thing in our life, because God wants that. He craves that. And that's what we were made for. Adam and Eve was made because God wanted a relationship with people. He wanted praise and glory. He wanted to commune with people. And he has been trying to get people to do that ever since the fall. The enemy came in and destroyed Adam and Eve's relationship with God, and God made provisions for us to come back into that. And we need to be willing to give that to him. God made everything, and he takes care of everything. He takes care of the creatures. God wants our praise. 96. Psalm 96 is a call to worship the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen and his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due in his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. All before him and fear him before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, and it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and his people with his truth. So sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing, sing, sing. I don't believe we need instruments to enhance our worship to Almighty God. It's just God wants the heart that is open and filled with him, and it's just a song, even in our own private worship. We can praise him that way. I thought of Hannah in her troubles and her struggles with Peninnah. And she finally went to the tabernacle, and there she poured out her prayer unto God. And Eli seen her there, and he seen her lips moving, but he heard nothing. And he told her, go put away your drunkenness. Stop drinking wine. Here was the woman she said, I am not a daughter of Belial. She told him that. She said, I have not drunken wine or strong drink, but I am a sorrowful woman. And I have poured out my grief unto the Lord. She was there worshiping. She had a need, and she cried out to God. And she just, in her own, she wasn't even saying anything. She was just praying in her heart to God to take away the reproach. And Eli said, go in peace. And the Lord granted your petition. And you know you did that. That's when we can worship, when our hearts cry out to God, when we feel a tremendous need for him in our life, and we just go to him, read his word, meditate upon him, and talk to him, and open up our hearts, and God will speak to us in comfort, in consolation, what it is. But God wants our worship. He will not accept anything less than pure worship. We cannot go there with other things on our hearts. We can't go to church and worship and think about the buck we killed yesterday. God won't honor that kind of worship. We can't come to worship and think about what I have to do next week. God won't honor that worship. Sisters, even if you can't forget on a fellowship meal that there's food down there, we should come, our food should be as simple enough that we can come into this place and worship without distracting thoughts. That's the kind of worship God wants, in spirit and in truth. That's what Jesus said to the woman at the well. She said, we know. He said, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jew. And he said, the Father seeketh such to worship him, that worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a challenge for me. I'm sure it's a challenge for you. But we need to labor to show that love for God that he has shown to us. And I think that's the crux of the whole problem. There's so many things in this world that we want to love besides God. The things of this world will perish with the using. We talked about get-rich schemes this morning. You know, people that win the lottery. They got a lot of money, but they got a lot of other things too. Those people are plagued by people wanting donations. They're just after them all the time. In fact, they won't even give their names out now, so they know people don't know who they are or where they are. They just beg for money. They crawl them. They send them texts, whatever they have. They just constantly. Money is easy come, easy go. But money is nothing more than a medium to help us to buy the things we need and share with others. I remember in my years when I was most active in the 30s and the 40s, the church I was a part with, they often took days and went to help somebody build a church. It was often they did that. All over the place. You not only had to pay for your plane ticket or to drive there, but you also lost a day or two of work. How much do we do it today? That is giving. That is giving. And may the Lord bless us. I believe after the salvation experience, our worship to God becomes the most important, because that's why he saved us. Let us kneel for prayer.